the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Just a couple of days left. I don't know what we're going to talk about. What in the world will we talk about on this show from now on, now that the Cubs are over and the election's going to be over next time we're on the air next week? We'll have to figure that out. A brand new show about nothing that we've talked about in the past. I mean, I guess we'll still be talking about the election, but not for much longer, we hope. It's upon us. And how much of a toll has that taken on your family? If one of you's in one camp and the other one's in the other camp, that had to be the most strenuous last 10 to 15 months of your marriage I can even imagine. Joining us on the phone to talk about that is Dr. Alan Singer. He's the author of Creating Your Perfect Family Size, but he's been thinking and writing about the political discourse and how that affects marriages. How are you, Dr. Singer?
I'm fine, thank you. First things first, congratulations on the Cubs. This is the year.
Thank you, sir. This was finally the year. Maybe, you know, people have said the Cubs win the World Series, Donald and Hillary running for president, it could just be the apocalypse. Maybe everything is coming to an end. We don't know for sure.
That's a good one. That's a good one. As all my relatives in Chicago say, it's been a bad century.
Hey, everybody's entitled to having a century that doesn't go quite their way. Now we've got a new century, and we're turning it around finally.
That's true.
So let's talk about the other crazy thing that's happening this week, besides the Cubs winning the World Series. In a couple of days, we're going to vote for the next president of the United States. And this is, I haven't been on the earth forever, but ever since Al Gore and George W., that's the last time I can remember what I would even consider a truly contentious election. And that was nothing compared to what we've been going through the last 10 months here in the U.S. When Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are running for president, they have, it's been extremely polarizing and contentious. Of course, we don't need to go over everything that's gone on, but we know that. And so I wonder how that is. I'm very lucky, Dr. Singer, and my wife and I, I think marriages are a very delicate thing, and you have to get very lucky. When we get married, when we're in our 20s or 22, 23, 24, even I got married at 26, I think we're not who we are now that I'm in my 40s. You still grow and evolve as a person, and to my non-medical knowledge of how the world works, I would say that there's a lot of luck involved in marriage because you become a different person in your 30s and 40s than you were in your 20s, and hopefully you and your spouse kind of grow and still think the same way and grow together in that way. And I've been lucky enough that my wife and I see very much politically the same way. And I'll tell you what, if I saw the opposite of how my wife saw this election, it would be pure hell in my house for the last few months. She would not put up with me at all if I wasn't agreeing with what she was saying. It would be very, very bad. So I can only imagine in houses where they truly have completely different political views, I would imagine this election has to be the toughest thing ever. Are you hearing a lot about that? Are some people out there having a tough time?
Yes. In fact, about half the couples that I'm seeing now in counseling are having some serious arguments. Let me just differentiate between a disagreement, which is perfectly natural, perfectly normal in a marriage, because there's a number of things, especially the research from West Coast psychologist Dr. John Gottman, what he found out is there's a number of marital issues that are perpetual, and it's normal, and you're never going to totally agree on money, on parenting styles, on household chores, on in-laws, work stress. These are things that are going to be continuous disagreements, and you have to know how to regulate the conflict, not try to resolve the conflict. But this political arguing that's coming to me in the form of couples, they're attacking each other's character, where a husband may say something like, she and Hillary are both lying liberals, and the wife will respond, Dr. Singer, he's insane to trust Trump, and I don't know how I ever married him. So this is taking it up a notch and escalating from a disagreement, which is normal, to real character assassination and contentious arguments. That's not healthy. That's not normal in a relationship.
And it's tough because this isn't we disagree on what show we're watching. I love American Idol. He hates it. I mean, this is stuff that we feel is very important for our future and for our country. So it really weighs. I think there's few arguments that would carry as much weight, maybe about how you raise the children or religion, things like that. But this is an intense one. And we've been living in such an intense moment in time in our country's history because of social media, because of the millions of cable news networks. It's always in our face. So if you're disagreeing with your spouse about this and it's intense and it's meaningful to you, it's got to be just impossible to avoid right now.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And especially the American Psychological Association did a large-scale survey very recently and determined that half of U.S. adults say this election is a significant source of stress. Wow. That's why I'm seeing so many couples on a small scale. But it's really causing a lot of stress with relationships, Matt.
All right. So let's say this. We're a couple of days away. It's probably not going to get much worse in your house than it already is. Maybe it will a little bit, but you've lived through it till now. So now I guess the question to ask you is, what do we do moving forward? Because this is going to end, we hope to God, on Tuesday night, that somebody's elected and we're not hanging on to not knowing for a few weeks. But assuming one of the two is elected on Tuesday night, now you have to move forward. And if you really hate the person who is elected, you're going to be distressed about that. The other person's going to be at least happy that their person got elected. But just as the country needs to come together after this election, marriages need to come back together after this election.
Right.
Do you have some tips on how we can do that, how we can mend those fences that have been so frayed in our houses?
Yes, I sure do. I want to share with you, but I also want to preface it by saying I'm not positive that after November 8th, everything will calm down and go back to being normal, because whoever the winner is, if the spouse perceives I'm the winner because my candidate's the winner and rubs it in, and the other spouse says, see, look what she is doing to our country, etc. I don't want to see these arguments continue after November 8th, but they potentially could. So here's what I recommend to couples in the strongest of terms. You have to de-escalate this. You have to call a timeout. When people are arguing and in each other's faces and they're screaming at each other, de-escalation, a timeout doesn't mean 5 minutes. Your body cannot physiologically calm down in 5 minutes. You need about 30, 40 minutes, maybe even an hour. You could even table the whole discussion for another day. So the first thing is de-escalate, because you can't speak rationally when you have couples who are in the heat of the argument. The second thing I do when I have the couple, and I ask them, by the way, in one of my counseling sessions, I ask them to carry on the argument a little bit in front of me. I said, continue where you were. I'd like to see how your eye contact is. I'd like to see your body language. I'd like to hear the tone of voice. I'd like to hear the volume, because some people don't realize when they're talking loud like this that they've changed the tone of the conversation differently than when they're talking like this. So I will look at that sample, and then the second thing after de-escalate is I say, we got to refocus this. This is not about your character and your spouse's character. This is an outside dimension here, politics, in which you happen to disagree, and it's obviously not simple enough to say, let's agree to disagree, because you're here. You're here seeing me. You're here and you came for counseling, and you can't stop this fight. You can't control this fight. You go to sleep angry every night. So that's number two. Number three is I give them the same understanding that I just mentioned to your audience, Matt, in terms of understanding the differences between disagreements, which are normal and plentiful, and arguments or fights. It's just a whole different world, and it's a whole different level of escalation. And last, I remind each couple when they come and talk about something like this or arguments on any topic, you made a commitment. You made a commitment in front of your family, in front of your friends, in front of God. That was the commitment you made, and it needs to be a marriage, not a marriage as long as, provided that we're still as in love or that our physical relationship is as passionate as ever. It has to be a commitment no matter what. One of my mentor and colleague, Dr. Bill Doherty up in the Midwest, up in Minnesota, is the one who says relationships are like Velcro. They stick, but they can easily be pulled apart. And that's part of what the dimensions are that we're working with.
Well, let me ask you, because the general rule throughout history is you don't talk politics at parties, right? Should we institute a no politics rule at home if it's that contentious? Should we figure out a way? Do we have to figure out a way to talk about it and be civil? Or is it okay to say, you know what, this is off the table for the two of us. This has really become an issue. We can't talk about this with each other. We have to agree that this isn't something we bring into our home.
Yeah, I perfectly formulated, Matt, but I don't know how feasible in the heat of the moment, and like you said earlier, with technology, with tweets, and with Facebook postings, everything in our face, the latest thing Trump said, the latest way that Hillary responded, all of that, it's constant barraging, and it upsets the people with the strong feelings that they have, so it's not that it's easier said than done. To say, oh, just table it.
Right.
Just table. Just say, we're not going to talk about this anymore. They do need to. That's a good goal. That's a good goal. Like I said before, you have to de-escalate and to take the flooding that occurs, which means higher blood pressure and literally faces, you know, flooded with blood, just because, you know, people. That's what anger is. You have to take the flooding that happens and de-escalate it with a suitable enough timeout or even table it for another time and realize that what you've built up. I have couples who are viciously arguing about this. They've been married 10 years. They have two children. Wouldn't we expect they'd be past the point where they would let something like this bring them down and be steeped in this argument? But when you use language like, he's crazy, how is he going to vote for him? And, you know, she's a liar. That's personal attacks. That's contemptuous. Contempt is one of the four horsemen that Gottman refers to that really is brings about the end of a marriage, because those are personal attacks on another person. They decrease someone's immunological system. You're bound to get more colds. You'll get the flu more often if you're in a relationship where somebody is personally attacking and denigrating. It's very harmful.
Well, let me ask you, Dr. Singer, is that related to the election or related to that marriage? As you said, you would think after 10 years and a couple of kids, they'd be able to say, well, we've got more important things than this argument. But if they are arguing like that, if they are denigrating each other over their choices and their beliefs, then I would assume that speaks to a deeper issues within the marriage, that if they were perfectly healthy and completely, you know, respected, trusted, all of those things that we want in a healthy marriage, that they would have an easier time saying, all right, well, this is one area we don't agree. We just push it aside because, you know, there's more important things in our lives.
What you just said is a terrific perspective. People don't think and talk like that, or they wouldn't come to see me. Because the perspective that you had is something that I want to get back to, because the real help that I'm doing, when I have a 90-minute counseling session with a couple, and they have hours and hours each day, the difference is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give some hints, I'm trying to give some guidance, I'm trying to provide a little bit of wisdom. My wife and I are married 39 years, thank God. I'm trying to bring both personal and professional wisdom and advice to the setting, the main thrust of which is, first of all, there's hope. I want them to be hopeful about this situation. Couples will often ask, are we the worst you've ever seen, Dr. Singer? And they aren't. I just want to mention, Matt, by the way, that the worst I've ever seen and experienced is not a contentious room where husband and wife are screaming at the top of his lungs at each other and my tissue box is getting used because there's so much. That's not the worst. By far the worst is a quiet room where body language is he's sitting on the couch turned toward his right, and she's sitting on the couch turned toward her left, and they say, we're not even really sure why we're here, if there's any reason to continue to try in this marriage, but we felt like, you know, we should give marriage counseling a couple of tries. That's the worst, not the contentious. And or the saddest statistic that I know, and I know a bunch of them, unfortunately, but the saddest one I know is that two-thirds of divorcing couples don't get even 1 hour of counseling. That, I think, is tragic, especially tragic when there's any children involved. But in and of itself, that two-thirds statistic is tragic.
All right, so we got a few minutes left. Let's assume that you've really been fighting about this. You finally agree, okay, we're just not going to talk about it. And you said you don't know how you can do that because there's so much of it out there. It's so hard to avoid. What are the tricks for trying to get through that? I imagine find another friend who you can talk to outside, a buddy or somebody outside of your marriage who maybe agrees with you or who you can vent with and fight with and know that it won't affect you. If we're going to try to do that, even with all the other distractions, what would we do?
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. If everything's contentious, whenever you talk to your spouse about this current political presidential race, and you have people at work, friends, other relatives who are like-minded to you, and find them and talk to them, excellent idea. By nature, if somebody wants to get a supportive point of view, they know where to go in terms of their family and their friends. They're usually not, we're not talking somebody who's a loner out there. But the main thing when it comes to a marriage is understanding and putting it in perspective. We made this commitment to each other, and this can't be the source of a downward spiral that keeps going out of control, that our children might hear us screaming, yelling, or even cursing at each other, criticizing each other. For a husband to call, because they hear on TV, she's a liar.
Right.
Right? She's a liar. It's a disaster. Her plan, all of these different words that are being thrown about. And again, I'm not taking any sides in this election because I don't want to blow away half of your audience by having them say.
I understand. He's coming at it from this angle. You can't trust him.
I'd call Dr. Singer for a Skype session, except clearly he's of this political point of view.
Right.
But this is the most the way that this is playing out in front and affecting all of our lives. I hope there's a coming together and a rebuilding process, but the last few weeks, part of the news has been, if the election doesn't turn out such and such a way, we're going to continue and contend. Again, instead of conceding the election, we're going to challenge the election.
Well, let me ask you the last question, because we're running out of time, but if we avoid it, if we find another person to talk to, I guess the only danger I see in that is, say, my wife and I don't agree, so my buddy at work, he kind of agrees with me, so I talk to him about these things, and I vent, and I get it off my chest. But then he's agreeing with me, and that's validating my point even more, which gives me less of a reason to try to understand why my wife is seeing things the other way. And I do worry that you said, we can't let this affect everything else, but I know for my wife, when she finds out people are not of her mind, and this is something we haven't had to even think about in 4 years, really, because we have so many friends these days that aren't just our family and our very close friends. We have people who you associate with through school and Facebook and other things. We're so interconnected now to people that we're just not that connected with. And so you don't know them as well. And then you suddenly find this out about them. And for my wife, it's truly affecting her. She's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know that about them, because that will affect how I look at them from now on. And I think that's a real danger for us. Is that a danger that if we don't try to understand our spouse's point of view, if we just say, let's put it away, let's not talk about it, that's going to fester underneath? Because whichever person's elected president is there for the next 4 years, it's not like this is going to completely go away for us.
Very, very well put. I couldn't agree more in terms of not only the recognition of it, but taking the first step to be the one to de-escalate, to be the one to calm things down. We're not going to change each other's minds, I say to my wife, but I'm going to tell you right now that when we have these political discussions, it seems to rage out of control, and I would like to not discuss them. Let me find somebody at work who I'm going to be able to talk to about it, because one of the main things that you have to do in order to preserve the relationship, you spoke at the very beginning in terms of being lucky and finding your spouse, but a relationship takes nurturing. I don't even like the word work, because how many young couples out there who are thinking about getting married someday are going to run to get married when everyone around them says, a good marriage takes work. You got to do a lot of work. I mean, who's going to run to the institution of marriage if that's the case? And my colleague psychiatrist in, rest in peace, Dr. Frank Pittman in Atlanta used to say, the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy. It's to make you married. It's a commitment. It is a commitment and it is a decision. And the same way that it's a decision when you have these arguments, when spouses have these arguments to decide to table it, to de-escalate it, to have a calming down period of time, it's the same as any kind of habit that is or pattern that you have fallen into that you say, okay, I'm going to take the first step. I'm not going to take the bait. If you know the buttons to push, the positive buttons to push, to get on your spouse's good side, you know the buttons that if you push this button, she criticizes his driving. Why'd you take the turn so fast? You know the buttons to push that would get on, that would create negativity. So Don't push those buttons. Think of what the positive buttons are to help make marriage better.
Dr. Alan Singer is the author of Creating Your Perfect Family Size, another discussion you might have that hopefully won't be as contentious as this election. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Alan Singer. That's A-L-A-N-D-R-A-L-A-N Singer. And visit his website, familythinking.com. Dr. Singer, thank you so much for jumping on the phone. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Matt. Take care.